So this morning I have the pleasure to introduce Jeff and Jay Dunn, who are visiting us at WCBC all the way from China. They live right outside one of China's largest cities, Guangzhou. I've been practicing that one. Jeff grew up in Ohio, Illinois, and due to his friendship with the Swanson, he visits WCBC when back in the area. Both Jeff and Jay visit us here at WC just weeks before the world went crazy with COVID. And while I didn't remember much more than their first names, I started praying for them through the pandemic. Every time a news report would come up from China, I'd pray specifically for them. 2 weeks ago, I spotted them in the middle of the service and couldn't contain my joy. If you saw me, I just got out of my seat and went over and gave them hugs. God had answered my prayers, and I thought brought these two back to us 3 years later. Last week, Eldon invited them to come and share with us about themselves and how God has been working these past 3 years in their world. Please welcome my friends, Jeff and Jay.
I'm gonna knock this over. So, well, first, thank you very much, Sarah. We were amazed and just humbled that people remembered us. We've just been, coming here for the last sort of, couple of years before the pandemic when we visited here. And I'm just representing my wife and I to sort of share about what God has been doing. But we will both be available afterward for the discussions in case you have any questions about, what God is doing more in China. I'll share some of that now, but I'm sure we can't get to everything. So we both will be available for the discussion time afterward. So I thank you very much, Sarah, for praying for us and recognizing us. And we're just completely humbled and amazed by your prayer for us. So like Sarah said, I'm Jeffrey Dunn and came from Ohio. I gotta say first, I'm really thankful that Apple has the automatic time switching ahead thing, because we don't set our clocks at any time in China. There's just, there's no daylight savings time. There's only one time zone across the entire country. So I totally forgot that this was a thing. So thankfully Apple didn't forget. So otherwise I'd be walking in right about now. But I'm Jeffrey from Ohio, and that's another unique experience that I have right here, to sort of introduce where I'm from and not need to say anything else. In China, when I think some people probably know, when you're outside of this state or this region and you say I'm from Ohio, Illinois, inevitably it's, oh, Ohio. Oh, I know Ohio. And I have to tell people, You really don't. You don't know Ohio. Oh, they'll say, oh no, I have a friend who went to Cincinnati. I know Ohio. I've been through. No, not that one. So it's really it's interesting to be able to say I'm from Ohio, and I don't even need to say Illinois. Well, Sarah said it first, but I've been living in Guangzhou and working there the past 11 years or so, and most of that time I've been involved with ministry in China at some degree as well. And like we said, since maybe 2018, whenever my wife and I are coming back here, we just like to, come over here and worship. And that's because we knew the Swansons came here, so we thought it must be really good. And so we've really enjoyed just coming and worshiping here when we're in the U.S. And of course, like Sarah said, with the COVID situation in China and all, we just haven't been able to come back in the past 3 years. We've been invited to just talk about what God has been doing in our lives, as well as in China in general. So today I just wanted to share, a bit about that, a bit about the church situation in China, what's going on with that, and also a couple things that God has been teaching me throughout the years, starting from before I went to China, and going into, the last couple of years. God has been doing a lot of amazing things. But first, I wanted to answer a question that some people might have, and that is, how does someone from Ohio, Illinois, get into China? So I'll address that first. And maybe, you know, why have you stayed there 11 years? Well, that's because I met my wife there. And also, we have an amazing church there as well, Grace Fellowship, which we are very plugged into. And we just love the brothers and sisters that are over there. We've really deepened our spiritual roots there. And even though Grace Fellowship, it's the name has changed over the years, and the meeting location as well has changed. I could talk more about that later. But yeah, I'll just use Grace Fellowship just to simplify things. So that's a big reason why we've just stayed in China, is because we just love our fellowship so much over there. So that's a key thing that's anchoring us there, one of the things. So how did I come to China? How did I end up over there? So this story goes back to, I think, about 2009, when Ed and Melissa Swanson, they heard that I was interested in the Bible, and they also heard I was interested in foreign language, and so they invited me to take part in a week-long Wycliffe Bible translation training camp out at Jungle Jump Off. And so the first couple times they invited me, I politely declined. I didn't take them up on that, but they persisted. They kept on, you know, inviting me. They might have made a phone call. I saw them in a couple of community events at Ohio. They kept on inviting me. So, you know, I said, okay, you know, I see that they really believe that this is something that is good for my spiritual growth. Maybe God will do something through it. Okay, you know, I'll go for it. And I'm really glad that I did. So we joined that, I joined that week-long camp, and it was amazing, life-changing for many reasons. One of those reasons for me is that I was exposed to tonal languages at Jungle Jump Off, which are languages where you say a word, and depending on how you say it, if you say it like this or like this, then it could mean a totally different thing. I had never, you know, Spanish and French don't have that, so I was really amazed that such a thing existed in the world, and so that inspired me to take Mandarin Chinese when I started at NIU. So I signed up for Chinese class, and one thing led to another. I just pursued that and ended up going to China for an internship over a summer. And then after that, I came back, finished the degree, worked in the U.S. for a bit, and then moved back over to China. My original plan was a year, but it's been 11 years, so God added another one onto that so far, and counting. So that's how we ended up in China. So I'm very thankful to the Swansons for their dedication, not only to Jungle Jump Off and that ministry that they have, but also, you know, in inviting me and reaching out and not taking no for an answer the first or second time. So I'm very, very thankful for their persistence and also all the work that they do. So that is how I ended up going to China and sort of living there. And I want to talk a little bit sort of generally about the church situation in China, just very briefly, and then I'll go into a couple lessons that God has sort of taught me over the years. So first, in China, the first thing is there are churches in China. You know, that's one thing when I first went there, I didn't even sort of think about that too much. But there are two kinds of legal churches. The first kind is an international church where you need to have a passport to get in. And the other kind is for the local Chinese. And that's sometimes called a three-self church, in Chinese at least. Maybe English has the same phrase there. But that's also for, that's a legal church where Chinese can go and worship there. And so there's a lot of those churches, not nearly as many as there might be, you know, here though. But, you know, in Ohio or even in Walnuts, in pretty small communities, you can have multiple churches. In Guangzhou, a city of 18 million people, there's only maybe a couple or a few handfuls of churches like this that you can go and worship in. Now, a quick disclaimer is that people's experiences may vary in China a lot, depending on, you know, if someone goes there for a couple weeks, they might come back with a very different experience than someone else who goes there. And it really depends on, you know, what specifically you do there and where you're going. Are you going to a big city, or are you staying in, you know, sort of the central part of China? So, you know, the difference aspects of Christian life could vary a lot depending on where you're at. So I'm in a quite a big metropolitan city of Guangzhou. So, you know, that everything that I say will mostly apply to just this city. And if you go into other parts, it might be a bit different. But the style of worship that I found in the Protestant churches in Guangzhou is actually, or in China in general, is very is more liturgical than we would be used to here, for an example. And also, denominations aren't really emphasized or even, you know, talked about that much. Now, you might have a church that was affiliated maybe at some time in the past with a denomination from over here that may have been instrumental in planting that. So there might be some ties a long time ago, but talking about, you know, denominations and things like that, it just sort of doesn't exist over there as we know it over here. And maybe that's because there are just few churches. And so you have a lot of people, you know, with very maybe different backgrounds, different beliefs on some parts of the Bible that are coming together and worshiping together. So you can also find Bibles in China. In the past, I think before 2017 or 2018, you used to just be able to buy them online, and that was, you know, very accessible. Then after that, it's, you know, they're all gone. But you from online, but you can still find them in some Christian bookstores, maybe some like a bookstore that's attached to the church. So you can still get them. They're just a little more difficult to find, and They use the same Bible that we do. You know, there's nothing, I've never seen anything that's taken out. They use the same Bible that we do, all 66 books. The translation that they use, though, for a Chinese reader might feel a bit more archaic. It's an older translation, maybe, might have to check Wikipedia. It might be about 100 years old or so. But it would be sort of equivalent to our King James Version. That, you know, people can understand it, but, you know, if a newer generation is reading it, they might not, you know, they might not understand it as well. But that's the version of the Bible that they use most commonly in most churches. But there is a newer version, the Chinese New Version, the CNV. Let's see, yeah, Chinese New Version, and that is that's more like our NIV. So I like to use that more when I, you know, share with people. And there are seminaries and there are public baptisms there. In fact, our church, Grace Fellowship, we met at the seminary lecture hall for many years until we moved to another place. And the final thing I'll say is that from my experience at Grace Fellowship, I can say the gospel is unhindered. You know, we don't have we can go and teach the Bible as it says, the whole counsel of the Word of God. Again, experiences may vary, so I can't claim that for the whole huge country, but at least in my experience with our fellowship. So that's what I wanted to just sort of share about China first. And for those who are interested in sticking around for the discussion questions or discussion or the breakouts, my wife and I will be here to, you know, answer any questions that you might have. But I do want to just go through a couple lessons learned that God has taught me over the years, mostly during my time in China. And so I already talked about how I got to be in China. And during those couple of years before I went over there, you know, there was one part of my Christian growth and life that just didn't, it was very... almost non-existent, or I just wasn't regularly connected to a group of believers, to a church. And you know, it's funny how we can be doing spiritual things, we can be reading our Bible, we can be praying, we can be listening to Christian music, and we can be thinking that we're growing in our faith, that, you know, that we're becoming more like Jesus. And when in reality, you know, we might be, you know, staying stagnant or maybe even backsliding to some degree in our faith. And that's where I was in those couple years leading up to China. You know, I was reading my Bible. I was memorizing some Bible verses. I was... you know, in my car on the way to school, I'd be singing Christian music and, you know, sort of thinking that, okay, I'm doing what God wants me to do, but I wasn't connected to a Bible-believing church. And that's going to be a problem because the Word of God tells us that we shouldn't forsake the gathering of ourselves, of the gathering of believers, that we need connection with one another. This is very important for a Christian life. And for example, in 2010, when I had that some internship during the summer in China, I didn't even bother to try to find a church to plug into in China. First of all, I didn't think there was such a thing. But more importantly, I just didn't make it a priority. I didn't make it a priority when I went to somewhere new, or even when I was here, to seek out a church that I could plug into and grow in my faith. So that was a big problem, because Hebrews 10:25 says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And that is a huge purpose why we need to gather together and encourage one another to be edified, to be strengthened, to be encouraged in our walk with Jesus together. And so God taught me that lesson in those couple of years leading up to when I went to China. And because I learned that lesson, when I moved to China then, I actually first didn't move to Guangzhou, which is a very big city. I moved to a smaller city. And when I got there, I wasn't going to make that mistake again. So the first thing I did was look for a church. And so I found this this church, and they didn't even speak Mandarin there. It's just a smaller city, so they spoke the local dialect. And at that time, I couldn't even, you know, understand Mandarin very well, you know, let alone any kind of a dialect. But I knew the Word of God said that, you know, don't forsake the gathering of believers. We're part of a body and we need each other. And so I went, even though I didn't understand anything. But after a couple of Sundays, someone had seen me and they came over and they translated from the local dialect into Mandarin for me, which didn't help me that much because my Mandarin was very bad 11 years ago. But, you know, you know, I wasn't understanding what the message was saying or even the songs. But at least, you know, being with other believers and, you know, seeing them worshiping the same God with the same Spirit in us, was very encouraging. And so I kept on going. And there was one time, one Sunday I remember, Sunday was my only day off back then. I worked in a toy factory in that city. There's probably other stories connected to that. But on Sunday, that was my only day off. I decided that, you know, I was hanging out with friends sort of outside the city, and I knew that there was another church around that area that was Mandarin speaking. So I thought, okay, you know, maybe I can understand that more or easier than, you know, doing this, going to a local dialect church. But at that time, at that day, I just felt like, you know, can I just take one day off? You know, I sort of don't feel like going to church. I don't even know if I'm going to get anything out of it. And so I was just sort of not wanting to go. But the Spirit really impressed on my heart that, you know, this is something that you need to do. So I bid my friends goodbye after lunch, and I took a bus over to that church. It's about maybe 40 minutes away. And I get in there, and, you know, I've never been in that church before. It was a new one, and it was supposed to be the Mandarin service, and it was. But I got in there, and it was really big. You know, they could seat hundreds of people. It had pews, a second floor, I believe. And I just sort of sat myself to the very, like, side. And if anybody here has ever been to China or Asia or another place where, you know, you're sort of the only foreigner there, you know that you can draw a crowd, you can draw an attention, people start getting, you know, they get their phones out and they're, you know, taking pictures of you. So I'm a pretty shy guy, so I don't like to be the center of attention, so I just I purposefully set myself over in sort of like the very corner, just because I didn't want to draw everybody's attention, you know, on the foreigner sitting there rather than on God. And so before the service started, this guy comes over to me and he starts talking to me and he's asking me, you know, oh, what's your name? Where are you from? I didn't even mention Ohio, Illinois to him. I wouldn't have known how to say that in Mandarin. But so I just started talking to him a little bit and, okay, you know, this is a nice place. And then the service happened. I still didn't understand most of it. My Mandarin, again, was very bad. But at the end of the service, as it was about to conclude, I saw that guy get up on the stage, and this is a big church, and he got on the microphone, and he said, "We have a special guest all the way from the U.S. Jeffrey, please stand up." I thought, oh my goodness, God, is this what I get for going to church? But I thought, okay, God can use this. I know God can use this. And so I sort of like awkwardly waved to everybody. But then afterward, because people saw me and they noticed me, you know, after the service was over, a couple people hung around and, you know, some had been to the U.S. or some could speak English really well. So I was able to talk with them. And this one girl who introduced herself, she heard that I was moving to Guangzhou and she introduced a fellowship to me called Grace Fellowship. And so God used both my obedience to, you know, just obey and, you know, going to, you know, not forsaking the fellowship, not forsaking gathering together, even when I didn't feel like it. I didn't see what benefit could possibly come from going to, you know, a service of a language that I didn't understand most of it. God used that obedience. And he also used, you know, an awkward situation, something that I felt wasn't very beneficial to me. Is something that wouldn't have been in my plan, but God put those all together, and the result was he introduced me to the fellowship that really became my home fellowship, you know, for the past 10 plus years now. So it's just amazing how God can do that. So I really learned that, you know, being connected to the church, to the body of believers, the church isn't this building. You know, this is just a building. The church is the people here. And, you know, in English, we use the one word to mean the same, both meanings. In Chinese, there are two different words. One is the building, and one is the people, the meeting together. So God really just enforced that lesson home that, you know, this is really important. Even when we don't understand how it's important or what good it's going to do us, God can work through that. And the second lesson that God taught me early in my time in China was that it's really important to understand God's word from God's word in our heart rather than just memorize the words in our mind. You know, it's great to memorize Bible verses. It's great to have our favorite verses, our favorite life passages. That's wonderful, but we shouldn't stop there because, you know, that was a mistake that I made. My mistake, you know, sort of in my very early years in China was just sort of thinking of the Bible as, you know, just a lot of inspirational verses. Of course, I know it's inspired by God, but I just sort of focused on, you know, a sort of surface level understanding of the Bible and just going to my favorite verses and passages and holding on to those instead of digging down into the meat of God's word. And as a result, I could tell you a lot of the words that the Bible said, but I couldn't really explain the meaning to people that well. And that was hindering my ability to serve in China in those early couple years. But I love Acts 17:11. I love this verse. "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message, the word of God, with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." I just love that example because you have these Bereans who weren't believers at the time. They were going to be believers, but they were searching their Bibles to see and check up even on the Apostle Paul's teachings. And so if they're checking up on Paul's teaching to make sure that what he's saying is from the Word of God, that it is the truth of the Word of God, then how much more should you and I be checking up on what anybody teaches, whether it's up here, whether it's on the radio, on TV, on a book, whatever we hear, that's a teaching about the Word of God, we need to go to the Word of God and examine it every day for ourselves, regularly learning from the Word of God and seeing, is this the truth of the Scripture before I believe it and hold on to that. And the thing is, if we're only viewing the Bible as a reference book of sort of fortune cookie-like promises, instead of going down deep into the Word of God and understanding, what the Word is saying, what God is saying, what He's encouraging us to do, what He's teaching us about Himself, what He's teaching us about being holy and living more like Jesus, if we're not doing that, it's going to be hard to examine the Scriptures daily to see if what the teachings are that we hear are in fact in accordance with the Word of God. And that was a problem that I had at that point. So when I was back here one time for Christmas, some friends from church, they gave us this, Learn the Bible in 24 Hours CD, this Bible study from Chuck Missler. And it's a Bible survey, so it just goes through, in 24 one-hour sections, it just went through Genesis to Revelation and just put it all together and just showed me, how the whole Bible connects and points to the story of redemption in Jesus Christ and how every book points to that. And that just blew my mind. I had never seen the Bible taught that way before, and it just lit a fire in me to know the Word of God more. And so after I listened to that thing once, on earphones or something when I was out and about, I listened to it a second and a third time. And then finally I realized, okay, I should probably learn from another source as well. And so I really wanted to, get deeper down into the Word of God. And so I looked online for some, resources or studies, and I found some, but they were hundreds of dollars. And I was a student's loan debt-laden kid at that time, and I didn't really have money to go and buy these resources. So I put it before God. I said, God, you know my heart. You know I want to, pursue you. I want to know your word, and I want to know you deeper. But I don't know how. I need your help here. And it was later on that evening, I was just searching again, and suddenly all the search results started coming in, and I could find tons of free resources that went through the Bible verse by verse. And some of those, the notable ones, were from Chuck Smith. I love his study. And then also Verse by Verse Ministry, Stephen Armstrong's ministry there, that was very instrumental. Just verse by verse teachings that go through the whole Bible. There's so much meat there. It's amazing. So, if we hunger and thirst for God's Word, if we're really hungering and thirsting to be more like Christ and to seek Him, to be more like Him, God's going to answer that. He is going to open those doors for us when we really have that as our heart's desire. So, I found that, the more that I consume the Word of God, it's sort of like a paradox. The more you consume, you get satisfied, but you don't get full of it. You get hungrier for it. When you taste and see how God is, how great He is, how good He is, and just more understanding Him more and deeper, you crave to know Him more in all aspects of your life. And feeding on physical food, we don't just, have one meal on Sundays and then, that'll give us all our nutritional needs for the whole week. We have to go and just eat regularly to get the strength and nourishment we need. And the same thing goes with feeding on the Word of God. We really need to be into God's Word regularly and really seek to be on a path to know it more, to really dig down into God's Word. And the third and final lesson that I'll share is that God had taught me over the past several years that serving in the body of Christ should be a regular part of every believer's Christian life. So after I had gotten connected and going to church regularly and started growing in my passion for the Word of God, there was still something missing in my walk. And that was, at that time, I was going to, church every Sunday, mostly Grace Fellowship, but sometimes I would go to some Chinese fellowships. And, you know, I lived in another city at that time, Dongguan, and I would actually commute up a couple hours to go to Guangzhou, and sometimes, depending on my schedule, I would go to one church or the other. But, you know, when you're not fully connected and committed to one church, it can be hard to really serve in that body, you know, if you're not really connected to it. And also, you can't develop as deep of relationships as you could if you're committed to going there and committed to the growth of that church, you know, week in and week out. So that was something that, that the Holy Spirit was just pressing on my heart. So early in 2016, I just made the decision that, okay, Grace Fellowship, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go there as my default. You know, if an extenuating circumstance happens, you know, maybe I'll go somewhere else if I'm out of the country. But that's my church. I'm going to plug into there. I'm going to, you know, seek to, you know, have God use me however he wants to there. And when I did that, when I just made that commitment that says, you know, this is my church, I'm gonna, you know, help it, you know, let God use me in it. God just started opening doors to deeper relationships with the people there, including my wife. She developed some really strong relationships with brothers and sisters there, and so that was a huge thing that God did. And he also opened the door for more serving opportunities, things that I could have never imagined. You know, I didn't expect to be doing, you know, half the things that God has used me to do over there at that point. So, that's all because God, you know, opened those doors once I made that commitment that says, okay, I'm going to be committed to this fellowship. And so 1 Corinthians 12:12. I love this passage. Paul loves it also. Paul always mentions this analogy. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And Paul goes on with this analogy. He gives examples of how different parts of a body have different functions. And, you know, you can't have a body working at 100% if not all of the parts of the body are functioning. And it's the same thing spiritually. You know, every part of the body has its role. Some of those roles are more visible than others. You know, the people who are leading worship, the people who share, who do the readings. You know, these are more visible parts of ministry, but they're not the only parts of ministry. There's a lot more service that the body of Christ does, and most of that service is outside of these walls here. And that's something that every part of the body of Christ is called to do, and God equips us all to do as well. You know, I love Ephesians chapter 4 also, verses 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, why? To do all the work of ministry themselves? No. But to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So that's the reason why, you know, God put people, you know, to teach the Bible, to teach his word, not so that they do all the ministry, but so that they equip all of us, every member of the body of Christ, to do whatever part God has given you. And even if you think that, you know, I don't have any talents, I don't have any abilities, you know, I don't have any opportunities, God has given all of us something. Maybe in different measures, maybe in different areas, but every single part of the body is important. If you've ever, like, had an injured toe and tried to, like, do any kind of a sport with, you know, an injury, you know, even if it's just as small as a toe, you realize that, okay, you know, when that part of the body isn't functioning, you know, when it's functioning well, you don't notice it. But when it's not functioning well, it can really hinder the progress of the entire body. And so that's what God had taught me, that, you know, serving the body of Christ is not just for some people, it's for everybody. And I think, you know, serving is very rewarding too, in whatever role God has given us to do that. So that just wraps up some of the things that God has been teaching me over the years. It was hard to pick three, but those are some. So just as a recap, I just encourage you to, you know, don't forsake the gathering together of believers. It's so important and it's so necessary. You need others. We all do. And also, other people need you. You know, God has given us each experiences and, you know, things that we can share to encourage one another, to support one another. And that even if you think that you don't need others, which you do, other people definitely need you and what God has given you. Secondly, dig into God's word. Again, it's great to, you know, have like a favorite Bible verse, and we all do, but digging into the word of God, there's just nothing that can compare to that. Digging into the riches of God's word and just putting that in your heart and letting that transform you to be more like Christ and hungering and thirsting for him. And finally, I'd encourage you to get serving. If you're not serving in some role, it's very rewarding, and it's part of what we can all do to, you know, bring the kingdom here to earth and just let the light of Jesus shine here. So for those who want to, you know, ask any, feel free to bring any question to the discussion later. My wife and I will be very happy to answer as best as we can. About life in China, about the church there. So just, we invite you to that. And I'll just close with a word of prayer. Lord God, you are wonderful. You are King. You are our rock, our fortress, our provider, our shelter. You are Savior. You are our everything. And you know, like we sang today in many of the worship songs, we just want to pour out everything that we have to you. Everything here belongs to you, and we just want to just give ourselves to you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for letting us know you. Thank you for giving us your word that we can learn more about you, to be more like our Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for this church that it will continue to be a beacon of light and hope in this community and in this county. And we also pray for the churches around the world, especially for those in China, that we can continue to see growth, spiritual growth there. Whether the numbers come or not, that's up to you. But we just pray that we'll just seek to live out the light of Jesus Christ in whatever way that you give for the Chinese believers to do that. We pray that they'll be encouraged, strengthened, and just hold on to you during everything. And we just thank you and love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.